The single digits above and below zero for much of the Midwest. The forecast for East Central Illinois this afternoon, sunny and very cold with a high in the low to mid-teens. The wind from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear and bitterly cold with a low of 3 below zero. The wind from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour and wind chill readings from 8 degrees below zero to 18 below zero. Tomorrow, increasing clouds and a high of 20. A southwest wind from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Morning wind chill readings from 8 below zero to 18 below zero. Friday night, mostly cloudy, not as cold. Scattered flurries are possible, the low 15. And the wind will be out of the southwest from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Saturday, mostly cloudy with scattered flurries and a high near 30. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with scattered flurries, the low in the low 20s. Sunday and Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of snow. The high Sunday in the mid-30s and a low Sunday night in the low 20s. And the outlook for Monday, cloudy with a chance of snow and a high in the upper 20s. At noon Central Time, most locations across Illinois and Indiana report sunny or mostly sunny skies. Temperatures ranged from the single digits to the mid-20s. Rockford reported 10 degrees at the top of the hour, and O'Hare reported 13 degrees. In Springfield, it was 8. Mattoon reported 14 degrees. Carbondale, 21. At South Bend, 11 degrees. Lafayette checked in with 15. Indianapolis, 21. Terre Haute, 19. And Evansville, 26. Willard Airport reported sunny skies at the top of the hour. The temperature they reported there from the airport, 9. The dew point, 2. The relative humidity, 73%. The wind out of the west at 7, giving us a wind chill of 2 below. And the barometric pressure, 30.52 and falling. And at 12:39, 18 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. Local food cultures can cause trouble for large national chains. In Vermont, McDonald's came up against a state law that says products claiming to use maple ingredients actually have to use the real stuff. Vermont Public Radio's Charlotte Albright placed an order to see what she'd get.
McDonald's is still dishing out its artificially flavored fruit and maple oatmeal, but now if you ask for it in Vermont, you can get extra real maple on the side.
Hi, could I have some oatmeal, please? And I've heard somewhere that I could get some maple syrup with that as of today.
Without correction or comment, the server handed over the usual steaming paper cup of oatmeal topped with raisins and fresh apple chunks. At the bottom of the bag, there was a tiny packet labeled Vermont maple sugar. Not syrup, sugar. I noticed another woman eating her oatmeal in her car. Kathy Nash is a regular here.
I asked for the real maple syrup.
But she didn't get it either.
It was a powder.
Did that disappoint you? Did you want the real syrup?
I thought it might be a little container of syrup. So I was like, oh, well, let's see what it tastes like. And I stirred it in. It was really awesome.
That would please the man who owns this franchise. The only problem, Jim Bartley says, is that he, not the corporation, has to foot the bill for the free packets of genuine Vermont maple sugar. He won't say how hard that hits his bottom line. For NPR News, I'm Charlotte Albright in northern Vermont.
Maine is poised to make whoopie pies, the chocolate cookies with the fluffy white filling, the official state dessert, even though some say whoopie pies were really invented in Pennsylvania. A.J. Higgins reports from Maine State House.
As far as State Representative Paul Davis is concerned, there was nothing half-baked about his bill to make the whoopie pie the official state dessert, even if its origin is uncertain. He says no Mainer has to go far to find a whoopie pie.
Bakeries, corner stores, mom-and-pop shops, supermarkets, restaurants, lunch stands, hotels, motels, B&B, taverns, bars, dance halls, wherever.
As it turns out, demand for whoopies is up.
Whoopie pies have been on the rise for several years, and no one can pinpoint exactly the reason.
Amos Orkett of the Maine Whoopie Pie Association says he first got the idea about proclaiming the snack as the state dessert from a New York Times article in which the author asserted that if the whoopie pie wasn't the state dessert, it should be. Part of its appeal, Orkett says, may be somewhat nostalgic.
Perhaps they invoke home cooking, provide a comfort food in these difficult economic times. The whoopie pie is unique to Maine and an icon that has received national recognition for its culinary appeal.
Maine legislators spent an hour and a half listening to testimony about the whoopie pie, and there were some competing points of view. State Representative Don Pylon of Saco told the committee that at a time when more than 30% of Maine students are overweight, whoopie pies are not the dessert to promote.
Do we really want to glorify a dessert that lists lard as its primary ingredient?
Pylon says that since Maine blueberries represent a major industry in the state, the wild blueberry pie should be the official state dessert. But it looks like the legislature is ready to embrace the whoopie pie instead. It even has its own song. For NPR News, I'm A.J. Higgins in Augusta, Maine.
First, you make a chocolate cake, then cut the cake in two.
Many Americans who lost their jobs in recent years are looking to replace their lost income with home-based businesses. Think Tupperware, Avon, or Pampered Chef. But as NPR's Tamara Keith reports, making real money is real work.
When Cindy Tisdale was laid off from her job as a transaction tax analyst, she started looking for new work right away.
The niche that I'm in tax law is so small that there's hardly any positions anywhere.
Then a former coworker, who also lost her job, started selling jewelry for Silpata Designs. It's a direct sales company where reps hold jewelry parties. Tisdale thought it sounded like a pretty good deal.
I did like, and I love tax law, which sounds really nerdy, you know, because I'm an, you know, my degree's in accounting and statistics. But I'm just like, you know what? Okay, maybe this is a midlife crisis. I don't know, but time to change. I want to do something that's fun.
So on a recent Saturday night, she brought a bunch of catalogs and jewelry samples to a friend's house for a small party. There was wine and cheese and shopping.
I like those. There's rings, a necklace, and a bracelet. I believe a bracelet.
Tisdale is still searching for a full-time job, but she's hoping she'll be so successful selling jewelry, she won't need one.
A lot of my faith and hope is on this right now at this point. I feel like I can do this. I know I can do this. This is my dream to, you know, work for myself. This is what it is. I want to work for myself.
There are a lot of newly minted salespeople out there, just like Cindy Tisdale. Silpata CEO Jerry Kelly says his company's sales force has grown by 7,000 since the start of the recession, and many of the new reps were looking to replace lost income.
When you have car payments, when you have mortgage payments, those payments don't wait until you get another job. And the best part about this is you can't be fired.
Silpata says its representatives make an average of $285 per party. With any of these direct-selling, home-based businesses, it's difficult to replace a full-time income, says Neil Offen. He's the president and CEO of the Direct Selling Association, a national trade group.
Anyone who says it's easy is lying. It could be fun, and it could seem easy, but it's not.
Of the more than 16 million people in direct sales in the U.S., he says only about 8% do it full-time. Half of them are making $50,000 a year, and fewer than 1% of direct sales representatives earn $100,000 or more.
To make six figures, or even the $50,000 level, come on, it's going to be hard work. Very hard work.
Or in other words, this isn't a get-rich-quick situation. Gabrielle Schwartz ran up against that reality when she joined a company that sells green home products.
I failed at just getting people to reply on email or phone, or I've met strangers that said they would do appointments and then they cancel when you confirm.
Schwartz lost her job at a St. Louis marketing firm more than 2 years ago when the company downsized. She initially thought this home-based business would be able to replace her old job. Now she's just hoping someday it may be a source of vacation money. Tamara Keith, NPR News, Washington.
When Ricky Martin released his last Pulp album in 2005, his image was that of a sexy, heterosexual Latin pop singer. Since then, Ricky Martin has come out as gay. He has just released a new album and is going out on tour. NPR's Selena Simmons-Duffin reports.
If you were to open up a time capsule from 1999, this track would be in it. Upside, inside out. Living la vida loca. 12 years ago, Ricky Martin was catapulted into global fame with his Ken doll looks and cheerful pop tracks. But he was actually a big shot singer long before Living La Vida Loca. That's Martin performing as part of Puerto Rican boy band Menudo. He joined in 1984 at the age of 12 and was a member for 5 years. The group was hugely popular during that time. At one concert in a Brazil stadium, 130,000 fans showed up, double the capacity.
It was all about discipline.
That's Ricky Martin.
I was part of a band, and I was supposed to sing this song, and I was supposed to say whatever they told me to say, and to wear the clothes that they told me to wear, and dance the choreography that they told me to dance. Now it's about entertaining. Now it's freedom. Now it's about not wearing masks and just being who I am.
I'm as happy as I can be, 'cause I'm allergic to tragedy.
On his new album, Música Alma Sexo, or Music Soul Sex, many tracks have both English and Spanish versions. I know my vida snow.
It's just gonna salvo. You cannot translate the songs. You just, when you write an English song, you write an English song. And then when you start writing in Spanish, you just have to start from zero. If you're lucky enough to find the same, you know, storyline, well, you're lucky. There's one song that is called Shine, and in Spanish is called Te Vas. The Spanish version is You're Leaving, and the English version is Everything About Love.
Another track is a closer match. In English, it's called Liar, and in Spanish, No Te Miento. Por lo menos no te miento.
Te digo la verdad. It's a conversation with the audience where I say, you know, I'm explaining to you where I've been, and I'm going to be really honest. I never lie to you.
Martin dodged rumors about his sexuality for years until last March, when he wrote on his website that he was a proud and fortunate homosexual man. Many wondered how audiences, especially in Latin America, would react to his coming out. Martin says the response has been very positive.
If I knew it was going to be so amazing, it was going to feel so right, and if I knew the reaction of the audience and the media was going to be so positive, I would have done it a long time ago.
You can hear the theme of being out in the new album, like in this song called Será, Será. Escondiéndote en las sombras, no vas a encontrar lo que tú buscas. Martin sings, hiding in the shadows, you won't find what